Amen and amen. Good to see all of our visitors today. You're glad you're here. Amen.
Yep.
Amen. If you watch online, I don't look a bit different. I tell you what, you know, last week I talked about when we were in New Mexico that they had that slimming mirror. They don't sell them in the Delta. I've been looking for one. Do you think could we put a lens on that camera there, Hunter? What do you think? A slimming lens. Yeah, I like that. Amen. Well, I tell you, we have been talking about for the last 3 weeks, we have been talking about a covenant God, and we're going to continue that. I'll wrap that up today. A covenant God, and today I'm going to talk about, I'm going to finish the part of the inheritance on a covenant God, and I'll do a quick review, not much, but I will do a quick review, and then we're going to talk about some things. I'm going to talk about the most popular subject in the church, the one that most everybody, and it's good to see Pastor Brandon and Kaylee and Gracie and Barrett with us today. Believe it or not, they were our first youth pastors here. Good to see you over visiting today. Such an honor to be with you today. And so, but this topic that everybody loves. Everybody loves this topic except in the church. Some of you already know what it is. But we don't like talking. Matter of fact, when I start talking about it, some of you are going to tune out. And you're going to miss the part of the covenant God wants you to have. You know what that is? It's called money. Now, I don't preach on finances very much in this church. How many of you know I don't preach on finances very much? Amen. So that's most of you in here. The rest of you just brand new, I guess. So I don't preach on money, but I'm going to because I believe this. I practice this stuff I'm fixing to teach you. I have been practicing. It works. Why? Because it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. So watch this. Now we learned, so let me say this. So why is it that it's okay to work for money, argue with your spouse about money, tell your kids that money don't grow on trees, worry about money, then get upset with a pastor when he talks about money in the church? Why is that? Because there's this preconceived idea that if I talk about money, I'm trying to get you to give more. That's typically where it goes. That's a prosperity gospel. I'm not going to ask you to sow a seed this morning. Amen? I'm not going to. I don't do that. Is that biblical? Absolutely, it is. I can show you many times in Scripture, seed time and harvest. But am I going to do it? No. But is this biblical? Absolutely. With all these issues surrounding money, and there are a lot of issues surrounding money, don't you think that God has a solution for your money issue? Sure he does. He's God. If he can do everything we say he can do, he can also take care of finances with your help. You know, everything's kind of based on what you do, you know, right? So let's kind of give a review of a covenant. A covenant in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, it should be on your screen already. Look at that. You guys are doing great back there. Man, I pull stuff on them all the time. They just make it happen. Y'all know that, don't you? Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, we have learned several things this week that this is an Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham. It is for us today. We just read it, the last part of the last scripture, and it says this, "And in you all the families of Israel shall be blessed." That's a false statement, somewhat. They will be blessed. What does it say? In all the earth. Now, we put it up there so you can read along in case you hadn't found it in your Bible yet. So at least read it up there. So how many families will be blessed? Some? The elect?
All.
All families in the earth. Are you part of, are you living? Let me put it that way. Then that includes you. We proved that over the last couple weeks. I won't go back over it a lot. This word, it says in verse chapter 12, verse 2, says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. That word, that Hebrew word is bara, which means to salute, kneel, be adored, to lift up, okay, to edify. That's what that word means, okay? But it's interesting in the next couple of lines, it says, and I'll make your name great. And the latter part of that says, and you shall be a blessing. You shall be a blessing. Now, that's a little different Hebrew word. It is pronounced bahara, which means a source of blessing. It means prosperity. It means gift or present. Now, most of you were with me when I talked a little bit about money. But when I said prosperity, you left me. Stay with me. How many of you this week or last week wrote a check or it drafted out of your account, or you used your debit or credit card to pay a bill? How many did that? Okay, the ones that didn't raise your hand, you have no bills. I need to come to you. You need to be teaching. Okay, so you that didn't pay a bill this week, maybe you're once a month. How many of you used your debit card or credit card or cash to get some gasoline? What about go to the grocery store? So now we got 100% of everybody. What did you use? The card is not the deal. Let me just throw that at you. What did you use? That card had access electronically to some funds that you already possessed. You have in your account. Promise you, if you didn't have them, there's a little one word that comes up. Declined. It's the verb. Action. You ain't getting your gas. You're going to be hungry this week. It takes money, right? Amen. All right. So I'm going to make this fun so you can endure the next few minutes. So that this covenant blessing speaks to four areas. Now, you need to write these down. If you've been wondering if the pastor's off on stuff, I need you to write this down. There's four areas, maybe more, but I know these four, and these four will cover pretty much everything. This covenant blessing speaks to four areas. Number one, it speaks to Abraham himself. We know that. I will make you. He's speaking directly to Abraham. But what includes us in on that is that in him, Abraham, we'll learn in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29, that in him, his seed, you and I are, and so we get that same blessing. So it is talking to Abraham himself. It is also talking to the children of Israel that were to come. This blessing, they hadn't made it here yet. See, he'd just been moved out of Haran, and so there's no children of Israel as of yet. So it's those to come that was going to inherit the land of Israel, right? Amen. That's right. That's why there's such a chaos over in Israel right now. Because God gave them a certain borders. Go read it. He gave them certain borders in this Golan Heights, and the Palestinians weren't part of it. That's why, you know why it's chaos? Because God said, I didn't give it to you, I gave it to them. And they're going to get it back. And no peace treaties, nothing that we can come up with politically is going to solve this thing. If they can't get it back, I can tell you what, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, he's going to come back one of these days, and he's going to set one foot on the Mount of Olives, and he's going to set another wherever that big foot's going to go, and guess what? He's going to take it back for Israel. Do you hear me?
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to restore that kingdom, I promise you. Amen? Number three, that it talks about this. It talks about what God would do to those who bless or curse Abraham, Israel, or any who are in covenant with God. He says, I'll bless them or I'll curse them. So it talks to that area. And then lastly, it talks to the inclusion of anyone of Abraham's seed that is willing to enter into a covenant with God. That's the key. You got to be in covenant with God. Now, it's unique about covenants. Most of the time when covenants were made in the Old Testament, they would take some type of meat or beef, and they'd split it down the middle, put one part here and one part here, light fire around it so there would be smoke. And both parties that were entering into the covenant would walk and pass between this to signify a ratification of the covenant. This is what's so different about this very first covenant, is that when Abraham was instructed to split the animals in two and put one here and one here, Abraham fell into a deep sleep. Read it in Genesis chapter 12 through verse 17. Fell into a deep sleep. Only God passed through the covenant. in between the meat as a covenant. And that's significant to know that when God says, I'll make a covenant with you, and this is all you have to do is be born again, that covenant stands. Because, see, it cannot be broken by mere more humanity. When God establishes a covenant, you can just take it to the bank. Amen? That's what my daddy used to say. Son, you can just take that right on down to the bank because it's happening. Amen? God will do what he says he's going to do. We learn through Scripture that God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 through 17. We learn through Scripture that we are heirs to this promise given to Abraham. We learned that in Galatians 29. We also learned that in order to become an heir to this promise, you must be born again. That's in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. We also know that from Scripture that there are two geographical locations or areas this blessing will and can occur. One in the heavenly realm, because an inheritance for the blood-bought, born-again child of God is that you will inherit eternal life. Amen? That's a heavenly place. That part of the covenant is going to happen there. Amen? You entered into a covenant. You were born again. You got born again. Your inheritance is in heaven, part of it. Amen? Amen. Some of you are not that excited about going to heaven. I mean, I thought this was pretty exciting. Some of you knew. I'll tell my story. I'm like the old man. He said he was sitting on the front row and said he was, the preacher was really, man, he was getting at it. I mean, Bush, he was working it. I mean, he was had the crowd going. Boy, he was, and he said, how many of you want to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hand except this one old man. And the preacher saw him out of the corner of his eye. He said, well, let me just, he probably didn't hear me. He's old. Let me circle back at this. And so he come back at it again, boy, and everything. He said, how many of you want to go to heaven? Boy, everybody raised their hands. This man never moved. He said, huh. He said, he didn't hear me. So he walks right up to him and said, fella, didn't you hear me say that we want to go to heaven? How many want to go to heaven? Everybody raised their hand, but you. Old man said, yeah. Yeah, but you act like you want to get a bus this afternoon. So that's the way some of you feel. Y'all act like you want to get a bus. Hopefully we'll go this afternoon. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. You'll be cheerful in heaven, I hope. The other area, the geographical area, is on earth. How many of you know that God promised the children of Israel a land? How many of you know that Israel's in that land right now? Amen? Why is it? I mean, where is that? That's in the earth. Okay? That's in an earthly realm. Where do you live? On earth. If you're an Abraham seed and you're living on earth, that applies to you. This blessing will apply to you. We're going to get a little deeper in Scripture and show you that that applies here today as well. Okay, so I'm going to show you today in Scripture where God wants to bless you with finances. I know that is strange for so many people, you hearing me say that, because I don't preach this kind of message. But God wants to bless you with finances. What did he say to Abraham? I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. That Behrah means so that you can be a blessing. It means to prosper you. How can you bless someone if you don't have anything to bless them with? You know, the Bible addresses that, and he says, they come to him, and they said, well, Lord, when did we deny you? And he said, because you didn't give anybody a cup of cold water in my name. You didn't give them clothes in my name. You didn't feed them in my name. You just said, oh, be blessed, and turn away and go on. Remember that little story there? You know? Well, you didn't help them. If you don't have anything, you can't help anybody. I knew it was going to be good today. I mean, I just knew y'all were going to be excited about finances. You will get there. Do you know that God, well, let me just say it this way. It is okay for you to have money, wealth, and things. Contrary to some belief, I'm going to show you in Scripture. Just stay with me. Please don't turn me off. Because I want you to be blessed. I'm not taking up a special offering for anything at the end, okay? Deacons, we hadn't decided that, have we? We haven't decided we were taking up a special offering. I'm telling you, there's not going to be any offering. I'm not going to plead for money. I'm not going to ask you for a seed. I'm telling you that God has a plan for you with your finances, and he wants to get money to you so you can be a blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 8, let's start there. Got several scriptures because I want you to know this is from the Word of God and not me. God acknowledges wealth and increase. Now watch this. Now we're in Deuteronomy. This is about, depending on what source you read, somewhere between 200 and 500-600 years after what we see the Abrahamic covenant taking place. Now we know Moses supposedly wrote all five books. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when this happened, okay? So it's been a while. You know, Moses lived longer than we did, right? And it's been named to him to have penned even Deuteronomy. There's a lot of questions there, but regardless, it's 200 or 300, 400 years after this Abrahamic covenant was established, okay? So it's important that you know that. And so we pick up the story where he says, okay, now they haven't been brought up. They haven't been into Israel yet, okay? So watch. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Now that's important. That's your role. What did he say? Beware that you do not forget. It didn't say beware that I don't forget. Hey, help me help God remember. It says beware that you don't forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. How many of you know you get money, you get things, you think you can do it all by yourself? Verse 12, please. Because or unless this happens to you. He says, beware, don't forget the Lord and his commandments. Do them all because this could happen. This may happen. And this is what he says. Because when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwelt in them, verse 13, and when your herds, listen to me when I read this, pay attention to the text. When your herds, whose herds? So you had to have something to start with something. When your herds and your flocks multiply, what did they do? Increase. And your what? What was that? It said, everybody say what? And your what? Our what? You cannot read anything else into that except finances. Silver and gold was the monetary system. Most young people now think it's because you got a card. Got a debit card. No, it has nothing to do with that. Better have one, but. Your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that what? All that you have is what? Do you get the idea that God's talking about your stuff multiplying? This is pretty cool. I don't know if y'all getting this, but this just excited me. I mean, I just got plumb tickled. Verse 14. And when you're heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Uh-oh. He's fixing to tell you what all this means. Next verse. Who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which you were, which were fiery serpents and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good in the end. Then you say in your heart, this is the problem that you and I have with money. That you say in your heart, after you've been multiplied and got all this stuff, you forgot God and you say, my power and my might and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Here's the problem. It's when you say, I don't need God. I've done all of this. I don't even need God. I got a good job. I got insurance. I got health insurance. My house is paid for. I don't need God for anything. You've lifted up your heart. You've got a prideful spirit. Pride comes right before some kind of little stumble, a fall. And watch this, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he. Watch this. If you think God doesn't want you to have money, something's wrong with your theology. And it is he who gives you power to do what? Be broke? To get wealth. Why would he want you to have wealth? Watch this. We're talking about covenant. Listen to this verbiage. That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to who? Your forefathers. The Abrahamic covenant, as it is this day. What is he saying? Watch this. I got some little notes, man. I guess, oh, man, this is good. That word established means to confirm, to ratify, or to carry out. He's already established a covenant with Abraham. We're way in front of that now. He says, watch it when your hearts get lifted up. You think it's all about you? It ain't about you. When you try to prove in your heart, or when you try to say in your heart that it's all, I've done all this stuff, get ready. Something may happen to you that you're not going to like. And he does this that he may establish a covenant, not to the forefathers, not to Abraham. He's saying that I swore to your fathers. In other words, your forefathers. He's already established it once. Now he's trying to establish it with you as it is this day. In other words, right now. Today. And then guess what? 20 years from now, if the Lord tarries and they read that, it means this day. And 20 more years, it means this day. This is about financial need. Why? So he can establish the covenant. That's what the word says, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers. He wants to establish this thing for you. The church is behind in every area of financial giving right now in today's society. That's what the new statistics tell us. We're down. Churches are closing because they can't pay bills. The giving is down because everybody says inflation. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, you just don't know. You probably make so much money. Oh, yeah. Yeah, just make hands over fist. Have to take it to the bank and wheelbarrow. Little bitty wheelbarrow, little bitty one. No, it's a priority in what you spend. You say, Pastor, you don't have kids at home. I got grandkids. They're more expensive than kids, I guarantee it. But you don't understand putting gas in your car. Church, don't buy my gas. Council, does church buy my gas? Never, ever. I do all these things. I'm just like you. Why? Because I'm on the same page as you. But one thing that doesn't change is my giving. I'm not telling you this to condemn you, to beat you up if you don't give. I'm telling you, prioritize. God wants to establish a covenant with you so that you'll have stuff so that you can continue to do what you need to do. Well, praise God. Proverbs 13:22 says this, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. He's talking about money. He's talking about things. How can you leave something to two generations behind you if you have nothing? If the Lord called, if the Lord just wants you to barely get by, praise God. We're going to buy faith. We're going to get three nickels and put three nickels worth of gas in your car. Well, I've been there. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I have been there, scraped together. How many of you? I've been so broke that you go through that console. Pray for a miracle because you done robbed it seven times. You know there ain't no money in there. You're just praying that God drop four quarters there to get you a buck worth of gas so you can get home. You don't know what you're going to do to get back, but you're going to get home. Amen? That's not God's plan. It's he that gives you power to get wealth. Guess what? If he's the one that gives you power to get wealth, do you think he wants to give you four quarters, put gas in your car? That's a quarter of a gallon. That's a quart. You put a quart of gas, a diesel in my truck, it gets mad. It ain't gonna work. Yeah, that didn't even get all the way down the tank, did it? So you got to have something to leave something. So how do we gain in this time period between birth and death? How do we get riches, wealth, whatever you want to call it, money, enough to store it up so we can give to our children and our children's children? How do we do that? Well, a lot of it's upon your management or the lack of. Praise God. Now we got off into personal. So Pastor, you're getting off into my personal stuff. I've been there, done that, got that book. Amen. Next, Proverbs 8:17. Do you know God wants you to have money and wealth? Boy, it's quiet in this old Pentecostal church today. Some of you tight right now, if I was to take up an offering, you'd be so nervous you couldn't even get to your wallet. You just... If you was to try to sign a check, you'd sign it up on the top. You'd just be nervous. I'm not asking for an offering. I'm just telling you what God's word says about money. God wants you to have money. Proverbs 8:17. Now you need, look, I'm reading, giving you several verses because I want you to get the context of what's going on. Okay? The Bible says this in verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. That's key contextually to what we're fixing to talk about. He says what? I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will what? Find me. Verse 18. This is what he says. This is what God's word says about riches. Riches and honor are with somebody. Me being the implied God. Riches and honor with me, enduring riches and righteousness. That means he ain't running out. That means the supply bucket is running over. It'll always run over that he has. It's an enduring. It's long going. It's forever, okay? He's not... It's so funny that God doesn't work on a financial system in heaven. But you and I do. Do you think for a minute that if that's our monetary system here, that God would leave us lacking in that area and expect us to do what we need to do and spend money and not give a provision on how to get it? No, that's the dumbest thing ever. That's just bad theology that you've been taught. Praise God. We're not moving in a direction of prosperity teaching and preaching at this church. Do you hear me? I hate it. However, I love the basic, real, true principles that are provided in this scripture. Praise God. Thank you for those three amens. Watch this. Verse 19. My, capital M implying God, my fruit is better than what? Yes, then what? Fine gold. And my revenue, then what? What do you think he's talking about? Money. The context is, if you love me, this is a precursor. If you love me, I love those who love me. And if you love me, guess what? Then he has these things. It says, if you find me, let's read it again. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. What are they going to find? What is he saying? If you find me, you're going to find what I'm fixing to list. You're going to find riches, enduring riches. You're going to find stuff that is better than gold and fine gold, choice silver. You're going to find that. My fruit, what is that? Everything God has beyond money. Spiritual blessings. We learned that last week. That you're going to get all these spiritual blessings along with this if you find God. Verse 20, I traverse in the way of righteousness. That's a big old word for saying, I walk in righteousness. It's not really a big word. When I first read it, I thought, well, he got a car. Traverse. Okay, some of y'all don't know what that is. It's a little car. Okay. I walk in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to what? Shannon, little Shannon, can you see the board up there? Does it say that the pastor said that we would inherit wealth, or the Bible says? It says the Bible didn't. I'm not coming up with this stuff. I'm just reading it to you. You didn't even know it was in there. Because you thought that's Old Testament stuff. That don't apply to me. Well, I think God changes not. That's what he said. He says that in me, that I may cause those who love me, there's that key. You got to be in Christ, in love with Christ, doing what Christ wants you to do, and he's going to cause you to inherit wealth. Watch this. That I may feel there. Who is there? Treasuries. You know what that word treasury means? It means two words. If you go look it up, I like word studies. Y'all know that by now. Two words is what it means. It means, number one, it means storehouses. The other means house. That I may feel their treasuries. Your house. Your storehouse, this house. See, if you're blessed and you do what God's word says, guess what? Then all of a sudden this house is full. And if this house is full, that means your house is full. Because he cannot renege on his word, Malachi 3, 9, and 10. See how that works together? Man, this is good stuff. So the Lord wants you to inherit wealth. Now, some of you just went through your mind this right here. This is what went through your mind. I don't have anybody rich and my family that's going to leave me anything. Well, you lazy rascal. He didn't say you'd be lazy. You got to go to work. Manage. You got to manage. There's principles all through the New Testament. This is why some people get bent out of shape talking about there's no tithe in the New Testament. Man, I can show you many things that talk about money and the principles of money and just the New Testament alone. We're going to show you. I'm going to show you some things here in just a few minutes. Going to just, you got to go home and repent. Say, Lord, I've been believing wrong. Watch this now. I got 10 minutes. I can finish this up because y'all really not with me. Y'all can go ahead if y'all's texting your reservations or whatever, your apps at Subway. Go ahead and put it in there. Y'all can go ahead and get there early. Y'all didn't think I knew you did that, did you? You having money does not bother God. However, putting your trust in money does bother God. You having money doesn't bother God. You putting your trust in money greatly bothers God. Watch this. 1 Timothy, New Testament, New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says this. Command those who are poor in this present age not to be haughty. I ain't really ever seen a poor person too haughty. Come on. When I was broke, I wasn't too haughty. I was the low of the low. I was down at the bottom of the bottom, at the bottom, scrape the barrel, and then take the barrel away, and then you get to me. What does he say? He says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. You say, well, that's probably talking about something else. Well, just hang tight. Nor to trust in uncertain riches. Do a study, and it says this. It talks about money. Not to trust, because they're uncertain, they're volatile, they can change with circumstances. Don't put your trust in that, put your trust in me. He says, command those that are rich not to put your trust in money, because it'll flip on you. How many of you had money in the stock market in 2008? I had a little bit, not much, but I had some, and then I had none. And they kept advising me, don't take it out. You got all these penalties you're going to take. Yeah, they're being taken right now. I figured even after that, if I ended up with $1,000, that was going to be better than letting whoever try to take care of my money, which wasn't much, but it was mine. Some of you are still trying to get back to where you were off of that. That's tough. That was a banger. Amen. Okay. Man, I know y'all are soaking it in. That's why. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust uncertain riches, but in the living God. Who are you supposed to trust in? Who gives us what? Richly all the things to enjoy. To do what with them? What has he given you? All things. The things that are necessary. The things that you need. The things you can enjoy. Here, not there. In heaven, you don't need any of this stuff. You get it. Heaven is heaven. Praise God. What we consider precious down here, the streets are made out of up there. God looks at gold down here and says, no, that's like concrete up here. So what he says, streets going to be made out of, by the way, if you hadn't read that far in the Bible, it's streets going to be, it's just nothing to him. See, money doesn't bother God because he doesn't have to have it, but we do. What do we say around here? It's not about the money, but it's all about the money. Praise God. Hallelujah. This word gives right here, when it says, he who gives richly all things to enjoy, gives means, this is the definition, looked it up. Not in Webster's, in this here would be Greek. This is New Testament. And it says, external things such as pertain to property or riches or furniture or utensils or goods or food, etc. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not blinded to that. I get that. I'm not sharp, but I got that. It's pertaining. He gives richly, more than you're going to need. Why? Because he's trying to establish a covenant so that you can be a blessing. Because if you just get by, how can the covenant really take effect if he says, I'll bless you that you can be a blessing. And if I'm getting by, I can't bless anybody. So is the covenant broken? Absolutely. It stops with us. Here's the problem with most people with their money. They want to spend it all on them. And there's nothing wrong with spending money on yourself. The Bible says that a man should enjoy the fruit of his labor. But to get it and hoard it up all the time and not bless others, there's the problem. Because God's trying to use you to bless somebody else. I was blessed once in my lowest point in my life. I was blessed. Someone blessed me because they had done right and managed their money and had good credit and done all, and they blessed me. At that lowest point, they blessed me in my life. And I've tried to bless people ever since then. I said, Lord, if you'll do that for me when I'm able. And I didn't mean when I'm able, when I got $9 million in the bank, because that ain't looking that hot right now, okay? Just saying. Lord, when I'm able, I'm going to bless people. And blessing started with $10 or $5 or $7. I'm not asking you to sow a seed this morning, so get it out of your head. I'm not even asking you to go down here and pick out 9 people at the Mexican restaurant to bless today. I'm not even saying that. As the Holy Spirit works on you, why don't you just try blessing somebody? And it'll be probably the people you don't want to bless. Because, see, when you bless people that you don't want to bless, see, it's more of an obedience on your part, not what they do with it. See, we want to tell God what we can do with it. Praise God. We don't have that problem here. All right, I'm going to put this on here. And this only thing you can do this with this right here. Now, just give your money. It's God's. You got people elected in the right spots. They're going to do the right thing with it. What you give is going to be done, turned in what needs to be done, right? Amen. Hallelujah. So it's blessings. Okay. All right, here we go. I got to hurry. Verse 19. Verse 18, I'm sorry. It says, let them do good, that they be rich in good works. Oh, there's some works. There's a good thing. I can acknowledge that he's not talking about money right there. But ready to give, willing to share, what? Well, good things and what else? Ready to give. Things, money. Willing to share. You can't share what you don't possess. Praise God. Well, Jason, here, I want you to go buy your lunch. But you buy your lunch today. Praise God. That's a mint. Yep. I didn't have any money on me. Come on. That ain't going to buy you anything. You go over there to that Mexican restaurant after lunch and you drop in and say, my pastor said, this is for my lunch. You're going to get all kind of Mexican language. You're going to think they're speaking in tongues before you get out, before you go sit down. Come on, somebody. You can't bless somebody with something you don't already possess. I don't care what it is, whether it be knowledge, good things, finances, you can, it is impossible. It's stupidity. But yet we think, oh, the church needs to be so broke so we can stay humble. Well, what about just staying humble and have something? Well, that's a change. I like that idea better. Hey, man, okay, I'm going to hurry. I'm not going to hurry. I'm going to quit saying that. I'm not going to hurry. Verse 19, storing up for themselves a good foundation for a time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Oh, there's part of that covenant again. Wow, all tied right in with what? Money. Do good works. It's not about being your work. You can't get saved on works. But he says do good things. And guess what? That you can lay hold on a foundation of something that is to come, part of the covenant. If you're in him, you get eternal life. It's part of the covenant. Man, I was more excited when I was going over this in my head because I thought I'd get a better reaction. Now, you go home and study this out because it's true. And you don't even have to apply any of it. You do not. This right here won't get you to heaven, won't keep you out. This what I'm teaching, it will not. It won't. But if you don't want to have things, that's fine. I'm not beating you up over there. Hey, you stay where you are. But don't go around telling other people that they shouldn't have stuff. Well, praise God. You wouldn't want somebody, if somebody give you something, you wouldn't want to come to you and say, you know, I wouldn't have taken that. You know what I would have said? Well, that's where we're different. But I would have taken it. Many of y'all know, a couple, 2 or 3 years, someone blessed me with my pickup. Hallelujah! I didn't do anything special for that, but I got blessed. I had someone immediately, within 24 hours, say, as a preacher, you probably shouldn't be driving something that nice. I said, well, praise God. Did I tell you I resigned the church? Oh, well, everything's fine. I didn't tell them that. I tell them, I'm glad I don't go to your church. Glad I ain't preaching at your church. We'd be hungry. Come on. God wants us to have things. Praise God. Amen. I know you're just loving this. Am I doing okay? Last set of verses. Jesus never said, now listen to me, because it's going to sound so contradictory when I read the verses. Jesus never said that rich people couldn't enter in heaven. He never said that. Walked right up to it, but he didn't say that. In Mark, New Testament, chapter 10, verse 23 says this, then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, he's having a powwow with the 12. And he's looking around at people, I'm assuming, because he said he looked around. Pretty sharp of me to catch up on that, ain't it? He looked around and he said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? Now, I ain't figured this yet. I don't know why there's an exclamation point there, not a question, because it starts with how, which would lead us to believe that it is a question. So maybe it's a question and a statement at the same time. So how hard is, some of you English people may help me with that. How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? Next verse, pay attention what that said. How hard is it, let's go back to the house. How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? That's what he says, right? Next verse now, 24. And the disciples were astonished. I have a question. Why would they be astonished if they've been walking with Jesus and Jesus makes that statement? Probably because they knew that God didn't have a problem with money, and it astonished them. They knew everything about God, did they not? Didn't he? Didn't the disciples know everything? I mean, hey, they were right there with him. And it astonished them that he would make a statement like that. I wonder if it was because that Luke was a doctor. Matthew was a tax collector, very wealthy at the time. I wonder if it's because Peter and John, that they had some boats. Somebody had a boat that they worked from. They had businesses, is what I'm saying. How did that work? They were astonished, and they were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, listen to the verbiage change. Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God? How hard is it to trust? There's the difference. The first one said, how hard is it for people who have money to go into heaven? The next one says, that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's a big difference. When you put your trust in money, it changes the whole dynamic of this thing, money, and gets us into prosperity preaching, which is wrong. Give a seed and God will bless you. Go to work and he'll bless you too. Spend less than you make and you'll have money in the bank. Come on. Verse 25, this is what he says. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, he never said that a rich man couldn't get to heaven. He said it's hard for a rich man to get to heaven, enter the kingdom of heaven. And it says like the camel going through an eye of a needle. Well, that's really not what you think. It's not like these little sewing needles. It was really there was in canyons and stuff, and oh, they would look like a needle from far off, and camels, it was very steep and rocky, and they hard to get through that. And that's why he said it's hard for that camel to get up through there. Didn't say he couldn't. He said it's hard. You know why it was hard? Because if you're not careful, what do we read over in Deuteronomy? that you want to put your trust in riches, and that's what makes it hard. Money don't make it hard. Discipline and self-control makes it hard. Where am I going to put my trust? Is it going to be in God, or is it going to be in money? Is it going to be in God, or is it going to be the things that I have? My health insurance, my paid-off house. I don't care what happened. My house paid off. Glory to God. Mine's not, by the way, if you're thinking that I just made that. Mine's not. But I'm just saying, I'm good. Now, so you're putting your trust in that I'm going to be okay. No, put your trust in Christ, because just as Job was, everything can be taken away from you just like that right now. But your trust is in Christ, no matter if it has taken. Your trust wasn't in those things. You're not just, oh, God, what are we going to do now? We're going to say, God, what are you going to do now? It's where your perspective, where your trust is. Is it in God, or is it in the things of the world? It is in what you can do, or is it what God can do? God's faithful. His word says it. We get hung up on money because we don't want to do our part, and we say, well, the preacher, he's after money because I don't want to do my part. I want to hold on to mine. It's difficult for me to teach my granddaughter that's 5 years old that, honey, if you got $5.50 goes to the Lord. She says, huh? She wants to bribe. She thinks I'm God. She'll come to me with a dime. Kaylin say, will this work, Papa? I need five of these. Five? It's 10% if some of you are wondering. Five? Yeah, but you're keeping $4.50. Well, Papa, could you give me $5.50 and I'll give 50 cents? Oh, no, then it's 55 cents. And that just blows her little mind. Much like it does most of you on tithing in the church. Just blows your mind. I cannot do it. Pastor, I am just down to the nitty. I mean, I pinch the penny every week and I don't have money to tithe. Can I get real with you? I'll bet you I could save you money on a few areas. Your adult beverages that you purchase that you do not need. Tobacco products, cable television that send all kind of nasty stuff to your brain. It's quieter now in the house, and we're going to start talking about money. Come on. You have the money, you don't manage it. If my wife was in here, this would be where I'd tell her crank the truck. Verse 26, and they were greatly astonished, saying among them, and this is what the disciple says, they were greatly astonished. Oh my gosh, this thing about this money, how are we going to get there? If people have money, how are they going to get to heaven? And he says this, and they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible. With men it is impossible. But with God, for with God all things are possible. With men, this is impossible. It is impossible for you to get to heaven by yourself. No, we're saying that. It's also impossible for you to get to heaven if you put your trust in money. But with God, now we put the God element back in it. With God, this is possible. What's possible? For you to get to heaven with money. Because you put your trust in the right spot, in the right position. See, that made me shout. Okay. Oh, I got to hurry. Verse 28, then Peter began to say to him implied Jesus, capital H right here. He began to say, Peter said, hey, I got a problem. Come on. What did he say? See, Lord, this is where I'm hung up with you, Lord. We need to talk. We've left everything. We go, but let me finish that one, Phoenicia, I'm sorry. We have left all and followed you. Next verse. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, how many people? There is no one, nobody, it's fixing to happen to this. there is no one who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, that stuff, it's implication of the stuff, for my sake and the gospel's. Uh-oh, there's this thing. If you leave it for, do it for the right reason, if you follow Christ for the right thing, not for the money, but for the right thing. But next verse 30. Who shall not receive, watch, if they leave it all, if you go after Christ and it costs you everything, and he says, if you do that, there's not one person who shall not receive 3%. Now, in what time? Preacher, that's talking about when we get to heaven. Hang on. In this time, you'll see it's a hundredfold. Houses or brothers or sisters or mothers or children and lands with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. It distinguishes the two. God wants you to have things now to establish a covenant so you can be a blessing to others. This thing's too simple. This is not complicated. Well, Pastor, I'm in a dead-end job. That's the cool thing. It's not about your dead-end job. It's about that you put your trust in Him and watch things come your way that you never even dreamed of. Some of you have had a desire in your life to own a business or to do this and do that, and you're scared because you got your trust. All your focus is all on money. It's all about the money. Focus on money. Focus on this. Can I borrow them? Can I do this? And I know the Bible talks about counting the cost. Come on, stay with me. You're so hung up. All my trust. If this don't work, then it's not going to happen. If this doesn't do this, and this doesn't happen. Okay. Well, what if God does? What if God does what He says He's going to do in His Word? What if you do your part and you put your trust in Him and not in the riches and see what God can do in your life? I've seen this happen in my own life. I'm not a financial guru by any stretch of the imagination. You know, put both my pennies and rub them together and get two. Some of y'all catch that later. And I'll close with this. Lord Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in some things and be in health in some things, just as your soul prospers. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul prospers. 3 John. I just had a couple things backwards. I had all the numbers there. I just had them backwards. Amen? Beloved, who's the beloved? The church folk. I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health. Praise God. Prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prosper. Do you think God wants your soul to prosper? He says, I want your soul to prosper, but I want these two things to prosper too. Prosper means to increase. I love y'all. Will you stand with me? Amen. I'm not going to have an altar call this morning because I'm afraid if I do, some of y'all are going to want to write large checks and leave it up here on the front, and then you're going to be accusing me of setting you up. And I don't want somebody to say, the pastor whispered around, if you just give $1,000 seed, then the Lord, I don't want that to happen. So I'm not going to have an altar call this morning. Because, you know, altar calls and money just really ain't sometimes the time to do that. This is what I do know, though. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today would be a great day. Today is the day, if you don't know Him as your Savior, your Lord and Savior, you can't enter into a covenant with Him if He ain't your Lord and Savior. Amen. We're really all about souls, so we're not about money. If you're visiting here, I rarely talk about it. David, I'm glad you didn't invite anybody. Last time David invited somebody to come to church, his one request is, well, I hope you don't talk about no money up there. And it's the only time in 12 years Brandon ever talked about money. That fella showed up, he ain't been back. I didn't know he was going to invite somebody that had a problem with that, but he did. So if you came today, seriously, I want you to understand We don't at this church believe in the prosperity gospel. Not even a spigot of it. Okay, I don't think that's true, and I know I can prove it biblically. But what I do want you to know is I believe that the blessings of the Lord are for you and I. And if you don't have stuff to help do what we want to do in the kingdom, then we can't do what we need to do in the kingdom. And it requires you doing something. It requires you managing and you investing correctly and you saving and you saying no. Here's the deal with money, and I'll let you go. Can I do that? Here's the deal with money. Money can be boiled down to one word. Are you ready? You ready for this one word? Discipline. No, kids, we're not buying that. No, we're not going out to eat. I'm trying to save my certain amount of money. No, we're not going to purchase that big purchase. Discipline. Yes, I do have money set back so I can bless that person. Yes, I do have money so where I can tithe and give in the offering, special offerings, and give to orphanage. Yes, I do have that because I discipline myself. Praise God. Let me bless you before I get out. Oh, hallelujah. Earlier, Ralph, I felt the Spirit of the Lord. There's a spirit, but I ain't sure what it is I feel here right now. No, I'm kidding. Amen. It's okay to have fun in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that the words that we spoke today from your word, Lord, do not get confused from the lip to the ear. Lord, that the enemy does not distort, confuse the message that you have. Lord, I pray that you would just move in our hearts today. Pray, God, you'd bless us when we leave. Keep your hand upon us, that we'd find favor in your sight. Lord, that also that increase, promotions, raises, Lord, would come our way, that peace would rest upon our rooftops, and that we'd find sweet sleep today in the name of Jesus. And everyone says amen and amen. Hey, hug on somebody that you don't know. Tell them you're glad that they're here today, or give them $100.